Luke chapter 14. All right, now let's get it quiet as we can. Babies, you know, our baby's been doing real good lately. I was bragging on them this morning. But they can backslide real quick. So don't, please don't let them disrupt. There's this many in here. It's very, very hard for people to hear and 30 babies screaming. So be sure and use the nursery if you need that. I appreciate if you would. Luke chapter number 14, verse... let's see. Time's sake, won't read all these verses. But let's look at verse number 16. Verse number 16. One of the oldest businesses in the world, is excuse making. Verse 16 said, "Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many," it means he invited everybody, "and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to," what? What's that next word? Make excuse. That's the most important word in that verse. They began to make, they didn't have an excuse. They made one. You don't have one. You might make one. You don't have an excuse keeping getting right with God. Well, I tell you, preacher, I just got that. No, you don't, neither. You might make up one, but you don't have one. They begin to make excuses. The first said, listen to these sorry excuses. You think they come up with something better than that. I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. He said, I just bought some land down here, and I've got... Now, listen, that land ain't going nowhere. It's still there right now. That fellow's been dead for years and years and years. He said, I bought this land and I got to go look at it. Have me excused. Next fellow said, 19. I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. What nut would buy 5 oxen and never even seen them before in his life? I bought these oxen and I got to go look at them, make sure they're all right. You think that's a pitiful one? Look at this next fellow. Verse 20. Another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. The poor fella, my soul, he married a wife and she wouldn't let him go. But somebody said he's the only one that really had an excuse. Verse 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, well, he didn't like it, said to his servant, go out quickly in the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, I want to preach to you this morning on the oldest tricks in the world of the devil, and that is excuses. And the title of the message is, Some Excuses That Could Keep You Out of Heaven. Now, excuse making is an old business. My daddy always used to say, he said, people do what they want to do. Hear that? People do what they want to do. And what they don't want to do, they'll make up an excuse to keep from doing. That's true. For the most part, that's true. A man usually does what he wants to. And if he don't want to do it, he'll think up some reason or some excuse to keep from doing it. That's true. 90% of the time, that's true with us. I want to give you some of what they call, what I would say, the 7 major excuses that people give to keep from coming to church, from being saved, from getting right with God. Hear it all the time. I would, in my mind, say that these are the 7 main ones. You hear some people, and they say, number one, you say, why don't you get saved? Why don't you come to church? And they look at you and their excuse is, first of all this morning, their excuse is, well, everybody else is doing it. So if everybody else is doing it, then I'm going to do it too. And what they mean by that is that everybody seems to be going the wrong way. Everybody seems to be living the party lifestyle. Everybody's getting drunk. Everybody's on drugs. Everybody's living like the devil. Everybody's committing adultery. Everybody's lying. Everybody's cheating. Why, everybody's doing it, preacher? Don't you know that? Now, the answer to that excuse is this. The answer to that excuse is this. Here's the answer. Noah didn't do it in his day. He was different. Lot did not do it in his day. And everybody's not doing it in this day. I mean, if you were not drunk last night, say amen. All right? I mean, if you were not shooting up heroin or cocaine last night, say amen. I mean, that's hundreds and hundreds of people, man. Everybody's not doing it. If you did not commit adultery last night, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. Everybody's not. Well, I don't know. I think I saw a few people didn't say amen. If you ever said amen, you better say amen right there. Now, let me tell you something. You hear me this morning. Everybody's not doing it. Everybody's not living like the devil. Everybody's not shooting up drugs. Everybody's not. You know why they call alcoholic beverages alcoholic beverages? Has that ever wondered why they call them alcoholic beverages? Because that's what you be when you drink them things. That's what it'll make you into, an alcoholic. But everybody's not doing it. Back in Noah's day, the Bible said they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. It meant nothing. It meant nothing to them. What they said they'd do meant nothing. They didn't care to lie. They didn't care to drink. They didn't care just to live like the devil. But the Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah wasn't doing it. And Lot wasn't doing it. I want to say to you this morning, that excuse is a lie. It will not hold water. Everybody's not doing it. Now, we're not perfect. By no means. We don't claim to be. I mean, we're as wicked and sorry as the next person. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, we're trying to live our life to please the Lord this morning. And everybody wasn't out partying last night. And everybody wasn't drinking last night. That excuse is no good. You say, well, everybody I know is doing it. You're just in the wrong crowd. Everybody's not doing it. Excuse number two. Excuse number two. Somebody said, now, preacher, that stuff done all right 100 years ago. It was all right for my grandma and grandpa and great-grandma and grandma. But times have changed. That's excuse number two. Times have changed. Anybody ever tell you that? Things ain't like they used to be. You can't, that old-time religion that you people preach about, it don't fit in our modern society. Now, you said that right, brother. It don't. It does not fit. You come back tonight and I'll show you how our religion fits in this society. It don't fit. And I agree with you. Times have changed. I mean, people sure have. Political things change. Politicians change. And their belief. The social things change. The unit of the family. Families ain't like they used to be. But people are not a lot like they used to be. Politics is not like it used to be. Towns and buildings and customs and all these things change. You go back to a town you've been to many years and my goodness, last time I was here, that wasn't here. That they built them houses since I've been down this road. My, when they build this new shopping center and things like that, times change. That's true. People change. Buildings change. I want to tell you that excuse will not hold water this morning because God never changes. God never changes. You think about that. God is the exact same right now as He was 1,000,000 years before He ever created the world. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. Think about that. That's hard for us to imagine. Everything we see changes. Everything, you look at your pictures from 2 years ago, you don't believe you're changing? I mean, you're changing, buddy. And most of us, we're changing for the worse. I hate to say it. I mean, as time goes by, we're getting worse and uglier all the time. But I would tell you, brother, God never changes. God never changes. He does not change. And I want to tell you something else. This book never changes. They try to change it. But God's Word is forever settled in heaven. Now what I mean by that is sin is still sin. Right is still right. Wrong is still wrong. And it don't matter how people look at it. It don't matter what a philosopher said or what a scientist said. God still has it right and wrong. And right still right. And wrong still wrong. And God never changed his idea about what's right and wrong. You say times have changed. Sure have. But God hadn't. Sin hadn't. Sin is still sin. You still go to the same hell if you die now as you did if you died 100 years ago. I mean, if you died in the Dark Ages in 1400, brother, you go to the same hell in 1997 as you did. And you can have the biggest funeral, and no reference to her funeral yesterday, but you can have a $1 million funeral and a cherry casket and a Cadillac waiting to take you to the graveyard and put your body in that grave. It makes no difference at all. You go to the same hell as a man that's shot and falls in a hole and never even has a burial. Times have changed, but God hasn't. Excuse number three. People say this. You try to talk to them and say, why don't you come to church? Why don't you come to God? Get right with God. They'll look at you and they'll say, I have different beliefs. And our answer is, so what? People do have different beliefs. I've had people tell me that. Oh, I don't believe like you believe. And I try to tell them, it's not important how I believe or you believe. It's what God said and what's right. I heard people say, I was raised this way. You're like that fellow, they said, they were trying a little community church. And they had a little Presbyterian church and a little Baptist church and a little Methodist church. And they wasn't either one of them doing no good. So they all met together one day and they said, we're going to just be a one church. And they said, we'll just all meet and have one church from now on. And we'll have a good-sized building here and build a little church. And they said, okay. And so finally it come up, the inevitable thing, what are we going to name it? And everybody wanted to name it what they was, you know. And they said, well, we're not going to please everybody, but we're all Christians. Why don't we just name ourselves the Christian Church? And they said, yeah, that sounds okay. One fellow jumped up and he said, no, I'm not going for that. No, sir, you're not going to do it. And they said, why, sir? He said, I want to tell you people something right now. He said, I've been a Baptist all my life. He said, I was born a Baptist. I've lived a Baptist. I'll die a Baptist. And you're not making no Christian out of me. That's where some people are, you know it? That's where love is. I'll tell you one thing, listen. I was born this. I've lived this way all my life. I'm not going to change. Let me tell you something, brother. You hear me? You may not believe like we believe or what I believe or whatever. That's immaterial. But you better find out what God said and believe like God believes. It's not just this thing of the Baptist over here and the Methodist over here and the Presbyterian over here. It's right over here and wrong over here. And you better find out what's right. You know what the world thinks? The world thinks if you believe something, that it's true for you. I witnessed these teenagers up in Delaware. I was out there witnessing. I was trying to talk to them. And it was when that time when me and Jason was up there. And we was up there and I was talking to these kids. And I was getting to talk to them. And they said, I said, you believe in God? They said, we believe God is real if you believe in Him. I said, what? They said, if you really believe in God, then there is a God. That's a philosophy nowadays. You heard that? You know where it comes from? It comes from these higher educational institutions where if you really believe something, it can help you through your sickness and it can help you and be there for you and help you cope with life, then God is real to you. You know what that is? That is a bunch of bull. Bull is a Greek word you uneducated people may not understand. It's the same as the English word hogwash. It's junk. It's crazy. I mean, brother, it's nothing. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. If you believe there's a God, there's a God. I said, what if you believe there's not one? Well, there's not one. You mean if you don't believe there's one, there's not one. If you do believe there's one, there is one. He said, that's right. I said, well, what if you believe the sun's not hot? He said, well, that's different. I said, if you really believe the sun's not hot, is it not hot? He said, oh, yes, the sun's hot, but that can be proven. I said, oh, so you're saying you really don't know if there's a God or not, so if you just believe there's one, there is one for you, and if a man believes there ain't one, then it ain't one for him, so you really don't know if they are or not, and they probably ain't. It's just in your mind, right? And what I do that, I take people what they say and I dissect it, you know, on top of that, and then I make them eat it, and then they don't like it, but they're the ones that said it. And is this what you're saying? Blah, 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 blah. No, I didn't really say it. That's what you said! But they hate to hear it in plain English. They can beat around the bush and fix that up in a nice essay and put big words on it and comes out the same thing, but it sounds a little nicer. And don't incriminate them like that. But my job is to cut it it up and dissect it, and I said, you said this in three words. Oh, no, I did. Yes, you did too. And I'm going to tell you what. They say you don't believe as you do. It don't matter how you believe. There either is a God or there ain't one. The sun's hot or it's not hot. I mean, this thing right here is real or it's not real. Somebody said, well, nothing's real. You just think it's real. We're all dreaming. This is a big dream that we're all in. You tell that to them people out there in the hospital. Tell them they're dreaming. Or stick yourself with a pen. You can find out. You'll wake up real quick out of your dream. Times have changed. Here's what another fellow said. Somebody said this. Same answer. It doesn't matter what you believe. Number four, just as long as you're sincere. Now, isn't that the attitude of most people today? And that's the reason why there's so many churches and denominations. The devil has confused religion so much that the average person never is going to take time to investigate. So they'll say, well, all religions are right. Just as long as you sincerely believe what you believe, God will have mercy on you and take you to heaven. I want to tell you this morning, some of you may not like this. You may think you're just an old narrow-minded Baptist preaching all that. You listen to me this morning. That is impossible. All religions cannot be right. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the door. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. According to Jesus Christ, if you believe Muhammad can help you get to heaven, you're wrong. According to Jesus Christ. According to Jesus Christ. Not according to the Baptist church. Not according to the Methodist church. According to Jesus Christ. Muhammad couldn't save a dead rat. And Buddha couldn't either. I'm telling you, Jesus said, I am the door. See that thing right there? That's the door going in that choir room. You go in that choir room, you go through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. Listen, it does make a difference what you believe. Just because you're sincere don't mean anything. That can be proven any day of the week. You know, there's been cases where nurses have put medicine in a room and a patient laying there needing the medicine real bad, and somehow by accident get the medicine confused or give it too much and the patient will die. And brother, they give the patient the wrong medicine and that patient dies. They can't go back to that nurse. You don't have those nurses meet in there and say, now listen, nurses, it really don't matter what you put in their arm, just as long as you sincerely believe that it'll make them well. That's how stupid colleges and universities are nowadays. That's the same philosophy that they tell our young people. They say, it really don't matter what you, what we told doctors that. It really don't matter what medicine you give them. If you're sincere and you honestly believe with all your heart that it'll make them well, you say, well, that's ridiculous, preacher. That's ridiculous. But you said it, buddy. You said it, not me. That is ridiculous. I want to tell you what, brother, this bunch of nuts going around saying it really doesn't matter what religion you embrace, as long as you sense it. That is a bunch of bull. That's more dangerous than putting a cyanide in a needle and shooting it in your arm. That's poison. It does make a difference what you believe. It does make a difference what a man believes. You better believe right. Hey, I'd hate to be laying in the hospital bed and a doctor come in there and I say, how long you been doing this? He'll say, oh, today's my first day. What are you putting in me? Oh, well, Mr. Castle, I really believe. I mean, I don't really know what this is. I can't even read it. But you take a few of these. I believe with all my heart. I just feel it. I just feel it. I just feel it. I say, well, you take them in, son, if it make you feel that good. I don't want nothing you've got. I ain't taking nothing else. I'm fine. I'm feeling better already right now. I don't want nothing. I don't want no serum. I don't want no shot. Hey, man, I don't even want a shot if it's got the right medicine in it. They scare me. I mean, them things are scary, man. But I tell you what, I sure don't want one's got the wrong medicine in it. And I want to tell you what, I can't believe people say, well, it doesn't really matter. We're on vacation. We'll just go to church anywhere. They're all the same. You're a nut. What you are, you're a nut. They are not the same. There's poison out there. And it will not. You better get the right stuff. You better get the right medicine. And the right medicine is a King James 1611 authorized Bible preached in the power of God, rightly divided. That is God's final authority for this generation right here. You ain't going to find no better medicine than this right here. You may not like it, but after all, when did medicine start tasting good? If they could figure out a medicine that tasted like sugar babies, I'd love to take my medicine. Because I love sugar babies. I like sugar daddies, but I like sugar babies better. Man, I start chewing them out. See, I start picking them out like that, reaching in there, picking out. And that's helped keep me awake on a mini trip. M&M's go too quick, but them sugar babies, man, I can make them things last from here to Florida. And I tell you what, just chew them and chew them and chew them. I wish medicine tasted like that. I wish it did, but most of it don't. Most of it don't. It's horrible. Why does medicine taste so bad? I don't know. God just fixed it that way somehow. I don't know why the Lord did all that kind of stuff. Like that one woman said, she said, everything I like is either immoral, illegal, or fattening. And that's the way the flesh is, man. The flesh just likes stuff that ain't good for it. Naturally, we naturally like what's not good. We naturally don't like what is good for it. And that's the way, listen, this whole thing right here, boy, sometimes it's bitter. Sometimes it's hard to swallow. And a preacher starts preaching, oh, but boy, if you'll take it, it'll get down inside you and you'll start feeling good after a while and it'll heal you up. That old disease of sin. Right, quickly. Another one said this, number four. I'll tell you why I won't get saved, preacher. I don't understand the Bible. Well, one man said this. Said, I just can't understand the Bible. There's no use in me going to church. So what does that mean? You're going to wait till you understand it before you come, right? Now there you go putting words in my mouth. Well, listen to what you said, man. Listen to what you said. I don't come to church and I won't get saved because I can't understand the Bible. Meaning, I'm going to help you along. Meaning, that once you understand it, you're going to get saved, right? So you're going to wait till you understand everything in the Bible, then you're going to get saved. Get right with God. Guess what? That ain't never going to happen. How long have I been saved? I don't understand everything in the Bible. I know a man's read the Bible 200 times. He don't understand everything in it. I know Bible preachers all over this country. They don't understand everything in it. You understand it? Hey, it don't matter if you don't understand it. Take it as God's Word. I don't understand how that medicine works, that doctor puts in. But I'm going to take it, buddy. If it'll make me better, I'm going to take it. Man said, well, I just don't accept anything that I can't understand. Oh, really? Really? You're a smart person, man. I don't understand how I can put gas in my car. Really, I don't understand this. Some of you guys might. I don't understand how you can just squirt gas in there and then hit the switch. I know I've heard of combustion and the spark plugs hit it and fires and all that. But I know, but what makes the thing go up hills? It'll go up hills for hours. I don't understand that. But I ain't going to walk till I figure it out. I'm not going to sit around and say, no, I'm going to figure it out. I don't accept nothing I can't understand. Okay, walk home this evening, smarty. You think I can't stand this hypocrite? Be consistent with what you profess. Amen? You don't accept nothing you can't understand? Walk on. I don't understand how electricity can come in here through all these miles of wires, man, and come in here and make light come out in this room. I don't understand that. I ain't going to sit around dark till I figure it out. Turn them things on. I fully would understand it. Let's just enjoy the light. I don't understand how black cow meat, green grass can get black milk. But I'm going to eat the cow and drink the milk and keep from cutting the grass if I can. Hey, you hear me? You accept a lot of things you don't understand. I accept a lot of things I don't understand. If it works, take it! And I want to tell you something. We got several hundred testimonies here this morning of people could stand up and run around and say, hey, this thing works! It's real. It'll work for you. You say, well, I've lived a wicked life and I'm a drunk right now. I'm on drugs. I'm a drug addict and preacher. You just don't know what a life I've lived. Thank God this works. Throw away excuses and come to God. Next one, number six. Man said this. I'll just put it off. I know what you're saying is right, but I'll just put it off. The rich young ruler said that in the Bible. King Agrippa said that in the Bible. Saying it's too early automatically makes it too late. There's never a wrong time to do the right thing. I tell you, young people, they don't realize how short their time is. Putting it off is a dangerous thing. You may be sitting here this morning and say, you know what? That guy had a point or two there, and he got me thinking. And that's exactly what I'm trying to get you to think. And I'm hoping God will drive these truths home in your heart. But you listen to me this morning. A lot of people say, You know, you got a point there, preacher, and I can't argue with what you said, but I'm going to put this thing off a while, and I'm going to wait a while before I get right with God. Do you know that all that is an excuse? You know, you'll say that same thing next Sunday, and the next, and the next, and the next. It's never easy. It's never easy to take that first step out of that pew and come down here to the altar and fall on your face and say, God, it's never easy. But buddy, if you'll make that first step, it's just like going to the dentist, man. It's just like going to a doctor. You hate to do it. Boy, you make that step, God will meet you right there in that aisle this morning, and God will wrap His arms around you, and the Lord will forgive you and cleanse you from everything you've ever done wrong in your life. Don't put it off! Don't put it off. I saw that little video day before yesterday, I believe, on the news, where this there are little cameras at that Ritz place where they Diana and that guy went to eat that night, and it showed them. Showed her going around the back of that Mercedes and climbing in the back seat. And I thought, how many people do that every day? Get in a car, go out to eat, and have no idea they're living their last few hours. They have no idea. That thing was an armored car, man. Ain't no telling how much it's worth. And that guy she's riding with, a Muslim. As far as anybody knows, never been saved. I'm not their judge. I don't know his heart. As far as anybody knows, never been saved. Imagine driving down the road in probably a $200,000 car with one of the world's supposedly most beautiful women, and all of a sudden, bam! Wake up in hell. You know what happens? People put it off. They put it off! They put it off! Some of you here this morning, that's your excuse. You're just going to put it off a little while, ain't you? You're going to wait a little while. Listen, if hell's real and heaven's real, and I have no doubt in my mind that it is, I know it is, because the Bible there. I'm just trying to get you to think, if this thing's real here this morning, you'd be crazy to walk out that door and put it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. It said Billy Graham woke up in a motel in 1962, Seattle, Washington, and he had a burden to call Marilyn Monroe. He tried to get in touch with Marilyn Monroe, and he was really heavy on his heart, and he couldn't get her. She was off filming or something, wouldn't return his calls, or couldn't get to her. And then he picked up the paper a few days later, and she's dead. And Marilyn Monroe, they said, had dealings with old what's-his-name, Anton LaVey, who pastored the First Church of Satan, as did James Mansfield, as did Spaghetti Boy, I'm going to show you tonight. As did that's where the corruption's coming from, San Francisco. And I want to tell you something this morning, friend. You know what her problem was? She just put it off one day too late. Don't you doubt for a minute Marilyn Monroe and Jane Mansfield didn't have people witness to them. Sunday Christians put it on them people and still do. The problem is they want to hold on to the things of this world just a little longer. Lastly, this is number 7. I'll give you this number through. Somebody said this, preacher, I'm just too bad a sinner. You just don't know what I've done. Boy, if you knew what I'd done, you'd run me out of here. Boy, if you knew what I'd done, preacher, I've lived an awful life. You just don't know. How about it? No, I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't care to know. I know of a man in the Bible one time they called the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul said, I am chief of sinners. He said, nobody's done worse than me. And God saved him and made him a trophy of grace. Hey, I'd say, some of you people are fooled. You're sitting here this morning, you think, boy, I'm the wickedest, sorriest, low-down person in here. Woo, you just don't know who you're sitting with this morning. Man, we got people in our church. I ain't bragging. Lord knows. You talk about a wicked bunch of dogs, they're sitting in here this morning. It's only the grace of God that put us in here this morning and made us what we are. These girls up here and men singing in the choir are just trophies of God's grace. It wasn't for the Lord, we'd be mean as a snake. God can do the same thing for you. God can do the same thing for you. You say, I'm just too bad a sinner. Nah. You know, in the army, they used to say, I don't know if it's still like this or not, it used to be real strict. And buddy, when your commander left you a job to do and he come back, there was only 3 answers. Yes, sir. No, sir. No excuse, sir. You couldn't tell him nothing else. Nothing else would be accepted. Yes, sir. No, sir. No excuse, sir. And when you stand before the Lord one day, that's the way it's going to be. Yes, sir. Not, well, Lord, you just don't understand it. No, just shut up. Yes, sir. No, sir. No excuse, sir. And you will have no excuse. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Our heads are bowed this morning. No one's talking. No one's moving. God's speaking to your heart. If He is, it'd be a good time for you just to move. Now, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to ask you something this morning. Are you absolutely, positively sure that you're saved? Do you know you're saved? You know that you're saved. That's the main thing in this world. You know you're ready to meet God. Something's already coming to the altar. No excuse. No excuse. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, why don't you make that step? There's already people up here. You won't have to worry about somebody looking at you. We're used to it. It happens all the time. It'd be a great day. Why don't you get saved this morning? Would you do it, friend? There'll be someone here. You say, I don't know how to get saved. Somebody will take the Bible right here and show you exactly what you've got to do. Will you? Why don't you get saved this morning? Why don't you get saved? Heavenly Father, do what ought to be done today. God, help someone to realize they are without excuse. Touch them, God, I pray. Make it easy for them to come. May the Holy Ghost draw them. Let them see their need of a Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake, amen.